If I'll explain this, you're looking on Facebook, you'll see a diamond in the middle. As this is called, how to live through suffering in a non-Christian world, unlimited opportunities for the Lord. Right in the middle of that triangle, what you'll see is you'll see the world, the flesh, and the devil, the three enemies that comes against every one of us. And I thank God, in our relationship with being out in the world today, as men and women of God that hold down a job, that go through so many things, we have an unlimited opportunity for the Lord because of the fact that each and every one of us, when we begin to submit ourselves to the Lord, man, there's nothing that's impossible with the Lord. Because the focus in this scripture is on how these changes take place in each Christian's life, starting on the inside, listen, and affecting how we live on the outside. And that's exactly what I tried to paint with this patriotic background of how that in a non-Christian world, looking at these three sides that we've got before us tonight, because here we see that our responsibilities and our relationships and our reactions are all going to be different, because what fuels every one of us from the inside out is the Spirit of God who is now in control. Every born-again believer has the Holy Spirit that set up a residence with them ever since they've come into the family of God. Amen. In order for us to have a healthy, horizontal relationship, you know what? What relationship needs to be right? Hey, I thank God. You know what? Our vertical one does. Our horizontal is with the Heavenly Father. But listen, you know what? If you ain't got that relationship with the Heavenly Father, you definitely ain't going to have a vertical relationship with others that are around you every day. It takes Christ being in the center of our lives to have our marriage to hold solid and true every day. It takes Christ in the center of our lives to be able to set an example and our light to shine with the authority that He gives us from on high by being submissive, praise God. That is one of the things. And so yielding to the Spirit rather than our flesh, boom, the devil being the world, bing bong. Hey, have you on to say it, amen. Well, I thank God, listen, here gives us an unlimited opportunity to spread our faith as God commands us. You see, we've got the Great Commission. We've been called according to His purpose. And even though a pandemic is going on, we're still held accountable that we are to fulfill the Great Commission of the church, that we're going out into all of the highways and the hedges and the byways, amen, and we're compelling people. And so here we look, this passage tonight, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 13 down to verse 25, this covers three very, very important areas of our lives as Christians. Look again with me. Those that are over us, those that are around us, and those that are against us. You see, those are the things of conflict as men and women of God that we still contend with, even though we go and we let our light shine. Sometimes we're going to have some tough times, and when we do, the Lord will always be with us, and He'll get us through those. But those over us, those around us, and those are against us, our testimonies are at stake in each of these vital relationships. Maybe one day you say, I just lost it. And man, I'm going to tell you, I said some things I ain't never said in all my life. That's the thing. You need to keep yourself under subjection, men and women of God. You are a light and a beacon in this community. And I tell you, you can let your anger get the best of you. That's why when you hit your finger with a hammer, amen, you can start singing, rolling, or whatever you got to do. Maybe you got to go out and get in the next room. But whatever it is, still try to progress the testimony of Jesus Christ and not say anything, even though that we're human. Hey, we're fleshly in this old fleshly body. But spiritually, the Lord has set up a spiritual kingdom inside of every one of us. Peter himself struggled in these areas early on in his life, and now he's given us some good advice from what he has learned. Americans are dealing with a godless government, you know, bad bosses, and mean mates, okay? That is a part of America. We got to deal with the godless government. We got to deal with the bad bosses. We deal with the mean mates, whether husband and wife, whatever, girlfriend, boyfriend stuff. In Peter's time, it was an open season on Christians. Peter is writing to tell us how to muzzle all of those things. Amen. As a matter of fact, he says that you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 15, that we're going to read in a little bit. And that word, put to silence, it means, whoop, put a muzzle on it. Like you muzzle a barking dog. Now, it's a hard pill to swallow when one is being persecuted and has lost so much because of persecution. But listen to me tonight, church. Listen. The word submit is an imperative. It's a strong command. He's not asking you, please, will you submit to me? He's telling you. It's imperative. It is a command by the Heavenly Father, by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that you submit yourself to the authorities, to the government, to one another as a husband and wife, all of these areas, amen. Men, it's not just about you two. You submit yourself unto your wife at times as well. You need to have that loving submissiveness and kindness toward her like you were when you were dating, amen. Go run and break your neck, try to open the door up for her, hallelujah. Amen. And try to do everything you can to take care, because she is your responsibility. Hey, wife, he is trying to be the spiritual leader, but sometimes he might fail. But you know what? You back him up, amen. And I thank God that love, amen. You treat him like you did when you was dating him, amen. That submissive, that man, you make the devil so mad when there's that love like that, praise God. Every level of government, local as well as state and national government, is to be obeyed. Why is this so important? The reason is very self-evident. It is perfectly clear. Without law and keeping the law and society would be utter chaos. You know what? Lawlessness would run wild. No one would be safe to walk the streets. What am I saying? I'm saying, hey, you know what? Some government is better than no government. Hey, many of you know what? You don't want to pay taxes. You know what? You anti-government this and anti-government that. Listen, let me tell you what. If I could personally put you on a plane and send you over to a third world country, that's pretty bad, and give you a taste of what it is that you ain't never saw in your life, I'd put you on that plane. Boy, because you get a dosage. You say, I can't wait to get back to America and pay some taxes. You know what? This country, all of us. Hey, I tell you, I've been paying taxes. For kids that I've been an empty nest for years. But I'm going to tell you, it's what it takes today. Every one of us have our reasons, amen. But I thank God, no one would be safe to walk the streets. Abuse, attacks, murder, war would be a constant threat. No property would be safe, amen. There'd be no public roads and transportation and water and sewage and electrical systems, amen. There'd be no law to collect taxes, amen. Even if there was, no one would honor it. And there would be no military, police, or fire protection for the same reason. You see, we need government. We need some type of government. And you may not like what's going on right now, but without law and the keeping of the law, there could be no society and there could be no community. And no life together, no bond to tie people, no community together, no law, no rulers, no authority, everything. Chaos is not God's will for the world. Law and order are God's will. And so God's will, men, to live in a world of love, joy, and peace, and a world of perfect law and order. Therefore, the believer is to set the example. And he's to obey the rulers and the laws of the community and the nation. Hey, man, hey, you say they're wrong. Hey, you know what? We'll get to that in just a minute. Why, if they are wrong, or if a husband is submissive and wrong toward a wife, what you to do in that matter, amen. We'll get to that. But there are three reasons sometimes why we're to obey the civil rulers out there today. But before I go any further, let me give you something powerful that I want to show you. How many times have you ever run into somebody and you said, man, that just lit a fire under me? You know what? In order to be forgiving, this scripture is one of my things that I always remind myself when things like this happen. Maybe it's a bad day. Maybe you run into somebody back from school that you never got along with. Y'all never could get along with each other, or whatever it is. John 13:35. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. This reminds us that we're always to forgive others when they mistreat you. You say, man, they just said something nasty behind my back over here, and I just heard about it, you know, and all. Listen, I used to see knife fights all the time up at the steel mill in Atlanta. Man, I'm going to tell you, I saw some of the, oh, Lord help, all in my life, all of the horrible things in my life. But I'm going to tell you, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, the Lord says, if ye have love one to another. Let's show him who we are. We are one of those that represent the Lord. And this is just one of my scriptures that I use, amen. Reminding us, as we're in 1 Peter, that as he began to write this, he wrote it out to the Christians throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. I thank God, which is today, modern-day Turkey, amen. I thank God. Here, we're going to learn something tonight, which is the principle of submission. The definition is one equal voluntarily placing himself, herself, under another equal, that God may be glorified. Listen to that again. One equal voluntarily placing himself, herself, under another equal, that God may be glorified. The principle of submission. I thank God each and every one of us, when we look and realize that today, that this is one of the greatest weapons. This is one of my old pictures. I carried an M16 with a 203 grenade launcher all the time. In every situation I was in, except for when I had bigger weapons than that. And man, I protected myself. But let me tell you something. Today, as a Christian, the greatest protection that you can ever have is being submissive. It gives you a greater power. And what it does is it gives you authority. And that's what we're fixing to go into. Because I thank God. Chaos is not God's will for the world, amen. We've got to show how loving and joyful and peaceful and wonderful life can be if people will obey God and obey the civil authorities of the world. Has it been difficult? There's been a lot of times, man. There's been a lot of times. Oh, Lord help me. Man, I'm going to tell you. I think I had to take a walk and cool off. And I said, forgive me, Lord. But I thank God as we go back to our scripture, amen, that God will always give us that. That we need to look back at, and I thank God as I'm going backwards. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples if ye have love one to another. John 13:35. I made it a point to make that, write that down, mark that, praise God, because that's powerful, amen. I thank God. It is submissiveness that is the most powerful weapon as a man and woman of God, that when you humble yourself, God gives you authority and power from on high like no other in your giftedness of areas that he's gifted every uniqueness about a man or woman of God, boy or girl of God. This is the most powerful weapon that you will ever possess. Greater than any physical weapon of an M16 with a 203 grenade launcher, an M60, a 50 cal, and everything else that I might have ever had my hands on and bigger. I'm going to tell you, this is the most powerful weapon as a man and woman of God, submissiveness. The principle of submissiveness. I wanted you to keep that in mind because I thank God when we look tonight, we look at the unlimited opportunities for the Lord because we see that our responsibility to authority in verses 13 through 16, as we read the Word of God and as we share some things with you tonight, there are these three reasons why believers are to obey civil rulers, amen. Civil rulers are sent by God, and civil authority is ordained by God, amen. That's the existence, the authority, and the position that the offices of the government are ordained by God, and it's God's will that the government exists. There are three institutions that are ordained by God. There's the family, there's the church, and there's the government. Did you hear that? There's three institutions that are ordained by God. There's the family, there's the church, and there's the government. All three exist because God set them up as the means by which men are to relate to each other and to himself as God, amen. God has ordained the family, I thank God. God has ordained the church, amen. God has ordained the government, amen. And the institutions and their authority are ordained by God, and men are responsible for how they carry out the functions of those institutions, amen. Each of those three institutions have leaders who are faithful to do an excellent job, amen. Each have leaders who are totally, probably sometimes disobedient to God, and they do a terrible job. But this includes the men who hold authority within various levels of government, as well as men serving on various levels in the church and in the family. And the fact to remember is that government is ordained by God, and rulers are answerable to Him. They shall give an account to God. Whatever happened in the White House, whether you know or don't know, that God is going to deal with that. God is going to take care of it. If there was deception with all of the election and everything, God's going to take care of that. Amen. God will take care of that. If it was something that Trump did, God's going to take care of that. If there was something Joe Biden did, God's going to take care of that. Amen. Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And that's Romans 13:1. Boy, Romans got some good stuff on government, amen. And so I thank God. Proverbs 16:12 says, it's an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. And so Isaiah 16:5, he said, and in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth. And so every one of us, we see that civil rulers are sent by God. Civil authority is ordained by God. Secondly, civil authorities execute justice for God as well. They rule to execute punishment for evildoers and reward those who do well, and they work good throughout the state. Rulers are not ordained by God to be a restraint upon good works, but upon evil. Civil authorities and law exist to restrain evil. And therefore, any believer, any Christian who breaks the law can expect to be punished by the state. For this reason, the believer should fear the state enough to obey its laws. And they should not do that which is good, but they should do that which is good and that is lawful. By fearing and doing that which is good and lawful, the believer has the praise of the state. And the idea of all of this is that the believer contributes to the good and the praise of the state, and he helps to build up righteousness and truth within that state, and thereby he's able to be a citizen of good and praiseworthiness for the state of Georgia right now. And so the believer has the praise for the state. He's allowed to live in peace as a citizen of the state. You say, man, Georgia don't appreciate nothing I do. Listen, you're a state employee. Hey, you go and do what you can. You represent the Lord, which is the greatest authority in all the land today. And the civil government and law are to restrain upon evil. The power of evil and corruption is so strong that when men are without law, they go on a rampage of selfishness and sin and looting and stealing and assault and immorality and destruction and murder. And so it's horrible. But also, civil authorities execute justice for God. But thirdly, the believer's good behavior is to silence the critics of Christ. Now, I thank God. You say, what do you mean by that? Well, in the days of the early church, the church and its believers were under severe attack from the state and from the society at that time. You know, they were giving lunch to the lions, amen. People wanted nothing to do with Christ and his demand for the self-denial and the holy living that was back there in the time that Peter's writing about. And they wanted to live like they wanted to and to do their own thing. The very idea that a person had to give all that he was and had to Christ and his cause of the world of evangelizing, that they had to sacrifice themselves to meet the desperate needs of a dying world, was the last thing upon their minds and the very, very last thing that they were going to accept during that time. Therefore, the government and the society were set upon stamping out the church and anyone who refused to turn away from Christ and his cause. Scripture calls every one of us out there who persecutes the church and its believers foolish men. Imagine rejecting a person just because he teaches love and joy, just because they teach peace and health, just because they teach long-suffering and gentleness, just because they teach rule and authority, just because they teach morality and authority and purity, just because they teach about justice and righteousness, discipline and control, amen. Any person that opposes the great virtues of life and teaches of the great virtues is doing a foolish thing, very foolish thing that he calls them, amen. And so it's sad to know that he's telling us not only how to stop the criticism, but he tells us further how to go and win those who are criticizing us and bring them to Jesus Christ, amen. Unlimited opportunities for the Lord is what I'm talking about, praise God. Hallelujah, amen. He gives us the greatest, most powerful weapon, and that is the weapon of submission. And so I thank God as we look and realize you're going to find out it is the mightiest force that God could give to every one of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. And so I thank God without a spirit of submissiveness is never more like the devil. Let me say that again. A person without a spirit of submissiveness is never more just like the devil himself. You want to be like the devil? Then just have a rebellious spirit. You see, it was a rebellion that made the devil to begin with. And he rebelled against the authority of God, and that's what made him the devil. Very simple. Now, old Saul in the Old Testament was a king. He was the tallest man from the smallest tribe in all of the nations, amen, from the Benjamites. And I want you to understand that God said to this rebellious king through his prophet Samuel, amen, he said, for rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Now, why did he say something like that? Because, dear friend, when you have a rebellious spirit, you get over in the devil's territory. You begin, as it were, to practice the occult when you have a rebellious spirit. The devil, you just open a door up for all things to happen. And as a matter of fact, it was not long after that until the old Saul was going to see a witch and he was dabbling into the occult because he already had a spirit of witchcraft in his heart, which was the spirit of rebellion. And so that's what you're seeing in America today. Man, old Saul rejected the word of the Lord, amen. He went on to say in 1 Samuel 15, Saul, because you have rejected the word of the Lord, God has rejected you from being king. You know, the biblical principle is that if you would be over, then you must be first under. Let me say that again. Because you've got to have submissiveness over you, and then you must first be under. In other words, if you refuse to be under, you can never be over. You'll never have authority over anyone if you're never under. And I thank God, we're always under somebody. There's always somebody above us, amen, in whatever position or capacity, amen. God only gives authority to those who live in submissiveness. And if you don't have a submissive spirit, if you have a rebellious spirit, then God is going to take away your authority. I'm telling you, hey, were you gifted with great healing abilities? Uh-uh. You don't have that authority because if you've got that rebelliousness in you, I don't care. That is something that will disrupt every bit of all of these things that we were talking about. Those that are under us, those that are over us, those that are around us, the world, the devil, and the flesh, amen. The Holy Spirit will give us insight into how we're to respond to government and those that are in authority over us, amen. And the Holy Spirit teaches us as Christians to treat all human life with respect and care. You know, why are we to treat everybody with proper respect and kindness? Why? Oh, let me tell you. Because everyone is made in God's image. That's why. That's right. Every single individual is made in the image of God. And the residence that resides in every born-again believer will encourage all Christians to find his or her fellowship with those who love the Lord and to reach out to those who do not. The temple of the Lord, which resides, the Holy Spirit, will help each of us weather the storms of trials and adversity with God's grace. Amen. And so I thank God as we look at the scripture tonight. Because if life has no purpose, it's impossible to evaluate your progress. With God, life does have a purpose. And amazingly, God has each step of our lives completely planned out. Amen. The plan of God is perfect. We're all foolish to resist the perfect and will of God. Amen. And so why would anyone be interested in anything other than what God has designed for them anyway? Peter's trying to share something with us tonight. Hallelujah. And so I thank God. A man's heart deviseth his ways, but the Lord directeth his steps. Amen. I thank God. Psalms 37:23. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. I thank God. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. I have been young and now am old, yet have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Amen. And so I thank God, each and every one of us, as we look and realize our responsibility to authority was what we started out with that unlimited opportunity for the Lord, amen. And I thank God, one of the things that we see is that we see, first of all, in verse 13, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be the king as supreme. If you look at the red, you'll have the King James Version. If you want the English Version, you look at the green, the blue, and you'll look at the green for the NIV, whatever your translation is. I'm the King James on the top up there, amen. But I thank God. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme. You know what? Here is a patriotic allegiance toward government. Every one of us, as we all have that obligation. Humanly, we don't like rules, you know. But just like almost every aspect of life, it requires authority and compliance. Here, God specifically targets the institution of government and our response to that authority. And I thank God, doing what is right in your own eyes only works if you're the only person left on the planet Earth. It may sound good to live as we please, but anarchy and confusion would be the result. And so, it's sad, but I thank God. He goes on, he says, are unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of them that do well. Amen. Well, I thank God, when God created the world, it was absolutely perfect in every way. Every part of a creation was at peace and in one accord. And when man sinned, everything immediately changed. Now man can no longer trust his neighbor. And there is a need for accountability, not only to God, but to one another as well. And the Lord instituted government to be the protector of those who do right and the punisher of those who do evil. As I read about Romans 13:1 earlier, amen, each and every one of us have that obligation that we would go forward and do that, amen. You know, because we are made in God's image, amen. I don't suppose that anyone completely agrees with everything his government stands for. There's nobody like that out there. There's always something that every one of us disagree with. Amen. We disagree with certain laws and taxes or people and leadership, but God doesn't put any conditions on his command here. Elijah had some problems with the leadership of King Ahab. Hey, you know what? I don't suppose that Apostle Paul agreed with Nero much of anything as well. And there were Jews who certainly had issues with Hitler. But and we will have our disagreements today and those in authority, but we must pray for God's grace when government acts in an anti-God fashion. That's we've talked about the principle of submission, but there's places of submission as well. And I thank God, Peter could mention many places, but he chooses three that are very difficult, and they're very hard just to illustrate what he's talking about. He's talking about three tough situations, amen. I thank God for us. But let me go on. He says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. He tells us the parallel application toward God, because he says, as free and not using your liberty for a cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, amen. Well, I thank God, each and every one of us, as he's telling us, amen, that he's talking to us to be able to submit, amen. But he's talking about a government, amen, a godless government. He's talking about bad bosses. He's talking about mean mates that are out there today, amen. Each and every one of us are going to be challenged in these areas of our life, amen. And so it's sad to say, but that's the truth of the matter, amen. Each and every one of us go through. Our second thing that we see as well is our relationship in associations in verses 17 through 18, amen. Well, I thank God, as we go through life today, we begin to look and realize that he tells us in verse 17, honor all men. He says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Right there is where he's making his examples known to every one of us, amen. I thank God, right here is one of those things that he's doing for each of us, amen, as he begins to let us know some of those things, because as all of us go forward, amen, we've got to be able to give in to submissiveness. And so I thank God, as we look at this, we always need to have a spirit of submissiveness, even when you cannot obey, amen. You know what? Sometimes people get put under the authority of the law, and we've got to abide by that as much as we can, amen. But I thank God, as he's talking about all of these, it's during the fiery trials that our lights shine the brightest and they have the greatest impact. Now, I thank God. Let me go back up just for a minute. In verse 15, he says, for so is the will of God, that with well-doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. It is during these times, the great interests of our lives, of those who were martyred for their faith, that we're encouraged by our courage and tenacity during the endless times, whether it's close to our death, that we've got to continue to live as and let our light shine as much as we can to influence those that are around us, amen, today. And so I thank God. But let me get on back where I was. I just wanted to back up and make that point. Here, as we talk about our relationships in associations in verses 17 and 18, let me get back on it. He's talking about honoring all men as well, amen. And so I thank God. You know what? Sometimes children that don't obey their parents rarely grow up obeying God. But it's sad to say that. Those people who have problems with their bosses at work usually have a problem with their pastors at church. These patterns carry over into our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Resisting the one who holds your existence in his hand is never wise to do. Isaiah 1:19 says, "If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land." And so I thank God, each and every one of us, he says in Isaiah 1:20, "But if you refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured with a sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." I thank God. Deuteronomy 30:19, "I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live." Why wouldn't you choose to rebel against the one that loves you with an everlasting love? Amen. God created us. He redeemed us. He has a perfect plan for all of our lives. Yet we have a human tendency to think that our way is better than his way. And so our relationship and associations, amen, our responsibility through authority, but also our relationship in associations as well, amen, that he says. But he tells us here in verse 17, honor all men. It says respect all. I thank God, every one of us, we're to have that respect, amen. He tells us these are the duties that are demanded by every servant of God, amen. Respect and esteem all citizens as fellow citizens, amen. Remember the early church and its believers, how they surrounded by all of the heathen worshipers of idols and the most corruptible people who wallowed around in all of the immorality, unjust, and drunken behaviors of that time, amen. But I thank God, because they are God's creation, because their souls are more value than all of the wealth in the world. That's how God looks at a soul. It's precious to him. Because of the virtue and the good and order that we have in our lives today, amen, that we can contribute to the work and the defense and the structure of this nation. I thank God, each and every one of us, honor all men, amen, as we respect them. I thank God. I'll get into this right in behind this as well. But I thank God, I think if I rejoice as well, because as we love the brotherhood, amen, and reverence, we fear God, and we recognize and honor those that are in authority as well, amen. These are some of the things that we do. We honor all men, we love the brotherhood, that means to love all believers, whoever they may be, regardless of color, nationality, our beliefs. If a person is a brother or sister in Christ, a true brother, we're to love him or her. It's not enough to honor and respect a brother or sister. Something far more is expected. To love, a true brotherly love, and to remember what love means. It means to care and to look after one another, to teach one another, to feed one another when needed, amen. To support one another, to help one another, amen. To protect one another, praise God. Share with one another, fellowship and commune with one another, pray and worship with one another, amen. Love is the very opposite of criticizing, backbiting, grumbling, murmuring, and being divisive, amen. We're to love the brotherhood of all believers everywhere, no matter what, amen. We're to fear God as well, amen. Don't fail in your duty to obey God as a citizen, nor as a member of God's church. To fear God, his will and commandments are all to be obeyed. Fear what will happen if you disobey God. And the idea is that judgment is coming, and disobedience will bring the judgment of God down upon you. And I thank God, as we look as well, we see honor the king up there, our supreme authority of the nation. Remember, the evil and the infamous Nero was on the throne when this was being written in 1 Peter. Nero ruled around AD 54 to 68. But note, believers are to be a people of order and discipline, of righteousness and justice, amen. And so each and every one of us are challenged today because of everything that we do. But I thank God here, as we see, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, and honor the king or supreme authority. He says in verse 18 in the King James Version, "Servants, be subject to your masters without fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the forward." And I thank God, if you'll look and see what he's talking about here, those that are harsh, is what he's talking about when he says those to the forward. And I'll tell you, every human being has value to God. They're valuable. They're valuable. God didn't create certain people better than others. Regardless of background, skin color, economic status, or ability, we all are made by God and should strive for harmony among ourselves. I wonder how many people in Congress rebelled and they did not live like a Christian for the whole 4 years that President Trump was in there, because they gave him a living you-know-what. They never backed anything he did. They never supported anything. Now, I know that jobs for politicians, but what about biblical Christians? You know, how can we do things? How can we call ourselves Christians if we don't support? Just like we support Trump, just like we support Biden today because he's the leader, and we may not like the individual. You know how you lose your authority? You take something like, I'll give you an example in a little bit about the centurion that in Matthew, that he sent word to Jesus. He says, you just say it. And it'll be so with me because I have that faith that I know what authority is and that if I tell somebody to go do it, they're going to go do it because of that authority, amen. But you know what? You can lose that authority as well. I thank God. We've got to be able to recognize that because servants be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good in general, but also to the forward. Now think of this, the faith of an outsider, the centurion, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come under my roof. Just say the word and my servant will be healed. That Gentile had greater faith than the ones that had been around him. Brother, that is love, man. Man, thank God, hallelujah. Jesus was amazed that he hadn't saw faith like that. The faith of an outsider, praise God. But you take this centurion. He's got, maybe he's got a lieutenant under him. Maybe he's got a sergeant under him. But if he goes over and slaps a general upside the face, hey, he's going to lose his authority. You say, how? Because he's going to be in a jailhouse. And when he's in a jailhouse, he won't have authority over the lieutenant, and he won't have any authority over the sergeant. He's lost that authority. Submissiveness, when you're in authority, and there's people in the chain of command and things, you're submissive to each other, but also you have authority because you're being submissive. And I thank God that's what Christ is teaching us, the principle of submissiveness. A husband and a wife, when they submit to each other, they got authority as well. A pastor, man, when the deacons are doing what they do, there's authority, amen. And when the deacons do it, they've got authority, amen. But listen, if you are not submissive one to the other, you lose your authority in that church. And you're not able to do what you can do because God will take that away from you. And so I tell you, how many of you out there today, praise God, and we look and we begin to realize that all the things, but the third thing that we're talking about tonight is our reaction to adversity. Our reaction to adversity. If you don't know what adversity is, it's trouble that's coming your way. And so every one of us, when we look and realize in verse 19 here that the thing that we're dealing with tonight is if we want authority, then would you like to pray with authority? Would you like to preach with authority? Would you like to witness with authority? Would you like to raise your children with authority and experience authority that a Christian ought to have in this world? Then you'll never have it with a rebellious spirit. Only when you're under will you be over. When you're under submissiveness, then you'll be over with authority. And so there are many mothers who don't have authority over their children because they're rebellious to their husbands. And maybe vice versa, maybe. There are many pastors who do not have authority with their congregations because they're not submitted to the authority of the Word of God. And on and on and on. And I could go on and on in this Bible study now. But there are people who refuse to be under, and therefore they will never be over. Now listen, if you don't learn any other truth tonight, I want you to learn this truth. Are you ready for it? Listen. Submissive and authority are heads and tails of the same coin. And the real authority flows out of a genuine submissiveness. And if you have a rebellious spirit, God will never ever give you the authority that you ought to have in your ministry as a men and women born again Christian. And so if we're not giving up something to submit, you know what? It's sad. But every one of us as we go through life today, one of the first things we see is our reaction to adversity. And C.S. Lewis, I quote, says this. He says, I'm in favor of democracy, not because everybody was equally intelligent or equally qualified to have an equal say, but because everybody was equally evil and sinful, and we need to watch one another. Amen? Unquote. You better believe it. I'm going to tell you, there's an irritable exhortation that takes place. Because look at the scripture that is coming up in verse 19. He says, for this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully, amen. Here is an irritable exhortation that is taking place, amen, and that he's telling us about here. And so, mistreated by those that are in authority is legally wrong, is what it's talking about. We have and want our rights. It's not fair, you know, but God's thoughts are higher than our thoughts. And the point is, the Christian workman is subject himself to his master or employer in order to please God. God loves all employers, no matter how unjust or unfair. God wants every employer to be reached for Christ. And the only hope of ever being reached is for Christian believers to live pure, holy, and righteous lives before Him and sharing Christ that gives an opportunity to arise in that situation. And so I thank God as we look and we go on. In verse 20 it says, "For what glory is it if when ye have buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God." You say, man, that King James is a little hard to understand. Look one right down below that. "For what credit is there if you endure the beatings you deserve for having done wrong? But if you endure suffering, even when you have done right, God will bless you for it." The Christian workman is to work heartily as the Lord and not to men. This is exactly what Scripture is declaring, amen. And so I thank God. Colossians 3, 23 through 25. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Jesus. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respecter of persons." I thank God I can elaborate more and more on that, but because of the sake of time, I'm already been long-winded tonight for a while now. And let me see if I can get on through these next few verses. I knew I shouldn't have took on these few extra and it's costed. But I thank God he said in verse 21, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." Amen. And so I thank God each and every one of us have a great opportunity. He says, "It was to this that God called you, for Christ himself suffered for you and left you an example so that you would follow in his steps." Every one of us. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord, he said. And so here we come up and we begin to see the incredible example that Peter is giving us. He says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow his steps." And I thank God as we look and realize that how great Christ suffered for us. He gave everything he was and he had to meet our needs. He gave his life on the cross. Therefore, we're to follow his example. We're to live holy lives and sacrifice all that we are to have to meet the needs of the world. And we're to suffer whatever ridicule and abuse and persecution comes our way. Scripture is very strong about this, amen. And so I thank God as we look. Because a key to patience when suffering wrongfully is found in just two words. Just two words. Look right there. When you look after suffer, he says two words. "For us." He suffered for us. That's the two words. That's the key to patience within suffering wrongfully. Them two words. He's for us. He suffered wrongfully. Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example. And so his passion for the lost enabled him to endure. And we will be much more successful in enduring when our passion for the lost mirrors our example of Jesus Christ. Christ, he didn't deserve to suffer. He had lived a sinless life, a perfect life, according to verse 22. "Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth." He committed no sin, and no one ever heard a lie come from his lips. Amen. Christ willfully volunteered and suffered, is what it's going to say. What an incredible example. But in verse 23, "Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to be that judgeth righteously." In other words, when he was insulted, he did not answer back with an insult. When he suffered, he did not threaten, but placed his hopes in God, the righteous judge. Christ willingly and voluntarily suffered. I thank God. He was reviled, but he did not rail back at the attacker. Amen. He suffered and was abused and beaten, pushed around, crowned with thorns on a crown of thorns, but he suffered it willingly. Amen. He committed himself to God, knowing that God would vindicate him, and he knew that God judges righteously and fairly. Therefore, he committed his life into the hands of God. Man. You know what? This is some incredible scripture tonight. An incredible example. But I thank God as we look and as we continue on in verse 24. who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Christ suffered to the ultimate degree. He bore our sins in his own body. Nothing could be any clearer to the honest and the open heart. Amen. Jesus Christ, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree. Amen. And so Jesus Christ took our sins upon himself. The guilt, the judgment, the punishment, he bore them for every one of us. And this is what it meant when we say that Jesus died for us. He took all the sins of all men of all time upon himself. He bore all the sin, all the guilt, all the judgment, every bit of the judgment, punishment of sin, that he died for it all. And he bore the penalty of all of our sins. How could Christ do this? How could one person bear the sins of all the people? By having lived a sinless life. Jesus Christ was the perfect and ideal one for this. He was our Savior. He was the spotless Lamb of God. Hallelujah. Like the one that they needed, that was a 1 year. It had to be a 1 year without blemish and spot according to the Old Testament. Amen. Christ suffered for the sins that we might die to sin and live unto righteousness, is what he's telling us here in verse 24. And so I thank God. You know, but lastly, these incredible examples, but I thank God. Lastly, verse 25, for ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and the bishop of your souls. Amen. There's the great need that believers have, and that is to return to the Lord. Many of you that have been out of God's will need to return. Believers need to always remember what they were and note. What is said about their past is true of all men. Believers had been as sheep going astray. They had wandered away from God. They had been attracted by the greener grass of the world and had forsaken God for the world and its food and pleasures. And they wanted to live and wander about as they desired and do their own thing. They turned away from God and his pasture. Believers had, however, returned to the shepherd and bishops of their soul, and they had repented and turned back to God. They had returned to the shepherd of their soul. They had returned to the bishop of their souls. Amen. No one has ever been mistreated more adversely than our Savior. And we need to look. We need to look no further than him for the proper reaction to fiery trials. The pattern for our behavior in adverse situations is not the world. It should not be determined by what the courts allow or what our friends think that we should do. We must always look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Amen. Boy, I thank God, each and every one of us. It's been so good to be with you tonight. Amen. Remember that scripture that I gave you earlier. Amen. Each and every one of us, we've all got a purpose that, with God's appointed authorities in our lives, because he gives us guidance and care. But remember this scripture. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Boy, I thank God. God bless you for being with us tonight, because you've got an unlimited opportunity for the Lord. Because how to live through suffering in a non-Christian world, here we've got unlimited opportunities to reach the unreachable and to bring them into God's wonderful kingdom. Amen. Because those over us, those around us, and those against us. For the Lord, unlimited opportunities. This is Pastor Darrell Bailey. Thank you for tuning us in tonight. This is the 12th of this series. I thank God as the testing of your assurance. Amen. Father, thank you tonight for this great opportunity to come into the homes of the many. And Father, forgive us of our many wrongs and mistakes. May we be submissive men, submissive women of God. And Lord, may we be submissive to those over us. And Lord, may we have authority and do that with a power from on high to do the work of the Lord. Even when our government is against us and not for us, Lord, even through difficult times, help us to do and to live for you and to mirror your very image. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.